That don't light your fiery woods wet, I can tell you for sure. Just think about one of these days, we're going to be standing on His holy ground, you know, and in His presence, doing the things that God would have us to do in our hearts and our lives. If you got your Bible this morning, I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. I'm going to begin reading with you in verse 5. Luke 21, verse 5. I want to share with you this morning from the Word of God upon the subject of the idea, building your testimony. I believe with all of my heart each and every day that we live, we ought to be working on building our testimony. And every day that we live, it ought to be a stronger testimony than the day before, because of allowing the Lord to have first place in our hearts and our lives, to allow us to be who He wants us to be in our hearts and our lives. And in thinking of that, I had to think about His disciples. Every day, He comes into the temple of the synagogue, and He teaches all day long. I'm sure he had many opportunities to do acts of mercy, of kindness, or healing for the people that would be brought to Him and stuff and things. But He ministered all day long, day in, day out. Then at evening, not having a place to lay His head, He went out and to the Garden of Gethsemane there, to the Mount of Olives, and there He rested and had His quiet time with His Father. And so they began to talk about things in their hearts and their lives, just like you and I talk about things in our lives. And I tell you, it broke my heart this week to watch and see on national television the movie stars, the politicians, and other groups of individuals that spake out against our president and leaders and churches across the land for simply saying, because of the senseless school shooting there in the city, that they were praying for the families of the victims of these. And these individuals began to condemn them. Prayer, you want to say you're going to pray for them? It's already happened. The massacre's over. The damage is done. And they made a mockery out of prayer. All week long, as you've watched, you've seen them as they've dealt with this in this particular school there in Minnesota, wherever it was at, and the things that was happening in their hearts and their lives. And then people wonder, what's wrong with our world, you know? The one true thing that's going to see us to the end is the Lord. And people are trying to ride Him off and not be. I want you to listen. You know, Jesus had just dealt with them concerning a little old lady. And He was standing off in the shadows there watching. A lot of rich people came by and they threw in their big offerings and stuff. This dear little lady came by with her two little farthings, or two little copper coins, what you and I would probably think of as pennies today. And the Lord said, of a truth I say to you that this poor widow has cast in more than all they. For all that these have of their abundance cast her into the fire, into the offering. But she of her penury have cast in all the living that she had. She cast in all the living. Everything she had, she gave to the Lord. You know, I don't think God deserves anything less than our best, you know. And dealings with them. And so, now, and this is Larry Haver thinking, so I'm not going to charge you for that. But after dealing with them concerning that, and the idea that she had given more than they had, all their big offerings and stuff, concerning this, they wanted to change the subject. They wanted to get on to other things. And the other thing that they could do right there at the moment was brag on the temple, how beautiful it was and how well structured it was, and the things that they thought about it. And verse 5 says that as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, as for these things which you behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And what they thought was so beautiful, so important, going to be so impressive to the Lord, the Lord said one of these days there won't be one stone. And we know that that was true when Babylon come in and all the things that happens concerning these things. In verse 7, he said, they asked him another question. They said, well, Master, when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? Two or three questions according to how you want to look at it. The first question, when will these things be? If you and I knew when the Lord was coming back, what would we do? We'd get prepared, wouldn't we? We'd be prayed up like we'd never been prayed up before in our hearts and our lives, you know. We'd be changing some things, getting rid of some things, and doing some things different and stuff. And, Lord, when will these things be? Second thing they wanted to know, what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? What sign will there be? When we see the sign, well, really what they didn't realize, the signs of the times was everywhere. And even more so for us today than in their day and in their time concerning this, in their hearts and their lives. Listen what he said to them about wanting to have a sign, wanting to hear these. He said, take heed in verse 8, that ye be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near. Go ye not, therefore, after them. Take heed. That word heed, the way that he used that in the Greek and the Hebrew there, simply meant for them to pay attention. Be careful what's about to take place. If you're not, you're going to be easily deceived. And somebody's going to pull the wool over your eyes. They're going to make it appear as if it's something that it's not. He said, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful what kind of message they're sharing. What they are peddling in their hearts and their lives. But he said in verse 9, when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified. They're going on around us all the time right now. Over there in the Holy Land, over there in the country of the Far East. So there's so many things that's happening every day. He said, but when you hear of these things, don't be terrified. Don't let it put you in a tizzy where you're no good to yourself or nobody else. For these things must first come to pass. But the end is not by and by. You know, speaking with a man this week. And he's telling me about his sister doing one of these scratch-offs and won a large amount of money. I said, well, what'd she do? He said, she locked every door in the house. Said she got her a plastic container and she took that scratch-off ticket and she put it down in there, packed it real good, hid it, you know. She didn't tell her husband, she didn't tell me, she didn't tell nobody that she'd won that money, you know, and stuff. And he said, she called me up and said, I need you to go with me somewhere. Well, where are we going? I'll show you when we get there. What are we going to do? He said, we was almost to Jackson before she ever showed me that card, you know. And he said, I didn't believe it. I told her, I said, you just drug me off up here. But he said, it was genuine. It was real, you know. And the stuff in his heart. She won, but she didn't trust anybody of what would take heed. She was being very, very careful. Said, when you hear the rumors of war and commotion, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, they doing that now, kingdom against kingdom, they doing that now, earthquakes shall be in divers places, we hear of them all the time, famines and pestilence and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. I tell you all the time that I never lived in a day and age where there's as many natural disasters as what we're living in now in our hearts and our lives. He said, but before all these, they shall lay their hands on you. Church, listen to this. It's coming. He said, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you and deliver you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. His disciples, those that were the closest to him, he said, men, y'all going to be martyrs just like me. You're going to be killed for your beliefs, for your traveling with me. Remember old Peter, loud mouth, you know, said, wherever you go, even unto death, I'll go with you. But he couldn't do that, could he? But after he'd seen the crucifixion of Jesus, and they laid hands on him, and they were about to martyr him, he requested them to do something. You remember what he requested them to do? Don't nail me to that cross like my Lord. I don't deserve to die like that. Turn me upside down and nail me to that cross upside down in his heart and his life. What did Peter come to the realization of? He knew that he was unworthy in his heart and his life. And so what are you going to do if you're faced with being persecuted because you said, I'm praying for those families of those kids that died in that shooting in that school. I prayed for whatever. I prayed for myself. I prayed for my family. Listen what he said here in verse 13. It shall turn to you for a what? Testimony. Testimony. I told you when share this morning about building your testimony, your heart and your life. And it's amazing sometimes what we are caused to go through in our hearts and our lives. But this morning, Jackson, when he shared that group of men and boys this morning, blessed my heart, you know. And the idea that he understood that the things that had happened in his life, that God was building him a testimony. He didn't know what I was going to preach this morning. He didn't understand. He hadn't read my mail and I hadn't read his. But God had read both of ours because he's the one that gives us the mail that has to be taken. He said, it shall turn to you for a testimony. And then he tells us to do something in verse 14. Listen to this. It said, settle it, therefore, in your what? Hearts. What will you do? You know? I'm sure that the Lord's laying ground here in this for the after the rapture of the church and the tribulation period and the millennium and the things that's going to, it's not going to be an easy sort for them. It's going to be an opportunity. He says, settle it, therefore, in your hearts. Have you ever thought about it? What are you going to do if you've been approached? And for your faith, your life is going to be required of you. What are you going to do? You're going to take that mark of the beast? You're going to do some of these things that might be presented to you? He says, settle it therefore in your heart, not to meditate before what you shall answer. Don't spend time wasted thinking about it, meditating about it. He said, verse 15, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. He said, don't worry about it. I'm going to give you a mouth. I'm going to give you wisdom. I'm going to give you the words that you need to say. To fight off your adversaries, the devil and his satanic forces. And they shall not be able to contradict nor resist what God's going to be able to do in our hearts and our lives. Have you ever, you know, just had somebody that you just felt like badgered you and you just could not seem to get a grip on not being angry and disgusted and mistreated by them and their hearts and their lives? He said, I'll give you a mouth, I'll give you a witness, I'll give you a testimony. That individual will not be able to contradict you. Contradict what? The words, the wisdom that God's going to give you to deal with them and nor be able to resist. And then he got down to the real nitty-gritty of it all, and listen what he said. Ye shall be betrayed both by parents, brethren, kinfolks, friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. All the things that was happening in their hearts and their lives. Our world is a wicked world. It's becoming more and more evident to us in our little part of the world, you know. But, you know, I just never thought I would see a day in George County where a son would kill his father, you know. But we're there, folks. We're there. What do we do? How do we handle these things? He said, you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. When I looked and I watched those news scripts and all those powers to be that were putting down on the president and the political leaders of the cities and towns round about there and the community that was offering up the support of the Pope and the Catholic Church and all their dealings with this school and stuff. And what else could they do but pray? You know, whatever the answer is, they're there in their hearts and their lives. Many shall be hated. But I like what verse 18 says. But there shall not be a hair of your head that would perish. There shall not a hair of your head perish. You You may die, but then at that moment you'll also just begin to live eternally with the Lord. In your patience, possess ye your soul. In your patience, possess. What's he saying? Don't let your feelings get away from you. He said, stand firm. That word possess means to stand firm, ye your souls. How are you going to stand firm if you don't understand what the Lord is doing for you in your heart and your life? Build you a resume. Build you an eternity with God that's important in your heart and your life. And possess your souls, your eternal life. Where are you going to spend that eternity? In your heart and your life. When you shall see Jerusalem compassed with these armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days. Vengeance, that all things which are written shall be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck into those days. For there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. You understand the difference what he made there? He didn't say my people, he said this people. Where's the church going to be? Where's the bride of Christ going to be? Going to be raptured out of here. And then he'll deal with that tribulation period. Then he'll deal with the millennium. But you know, and we edging on that on Sunday nights as we started into our study of Daniel, and then Wednesday night in Hosea, and we're etching forward chapter by chapter to the Lord coming back. What he's going to do, and the things that Revelation stands upon in their hearts and their lives. And he said, in those days, there's going to be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. They shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. We're just modern day Gentiles. And Jewish nation, God is going to call them out. We're looking all of that in Daniel and stuff, and the things that's happening in their hearts and their lives. But quickly listen to what he says as I close out this. He said, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Men's heart failing them for fear. Go they looking at those things which are coming. And the power of heaven is going to be shaken. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Son of Man being who? Jesus. Coming on a cloud of glory with power and great glory. And he gives us some illustrations. And listen to what he tells me and you to do. And then he said, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Don't be looking to the president. Don't look to your county, your job, your boss, or anyone else. When the signs of the time comes real to you, he said, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. What kind of redemption is he talking about? He's talking about Jesus as he redeemed you and I from a sinful world by going to that cross and dying, not for anything he'd done wrong, but for my sins and your sins and our hearts and our lives. What's it doing? What's your testimony look like? You ever thought about it? Think about it often, you know. What am I going to say? What am I going to do? How am I going to, you know? But I build a testimony in the lives that I live, the things that I do, you know. Now let me give you one quick instruction here. Don't always think your testimony's got to contain the good things. My testimony contains a bunch of bad stuff, but there were forgiven stuff when I asked Jesus to come into my heart and my life and forgive me my sins, save my soul. And I stumble and fall on a regular basis. I do, and I have to ask the Lord every day, Lord, reveal to me anything I might have done. This. See, because a lot of times I'm not even aware that I messed up, that I offended him, that I stepped on him, hurt him in some way. But he begins to bring them back to my remembrance. But he doesn't bring them back in a way where he's smearing them in my face. He's bringing them back to my memory in a way that I can say, Father, forgive me. And he can forgive me of that sin and wrong. He said, if I'd be faithful and just to confess, he'd be faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse me from everything but, that ain't what he said, cleanse me from all my unrighteousness. You know, some of us want to hold on to some things and think we can never be forgiven. You'll never be forgiven if you don't confess it and ask God to forgive you. Get rid of it in your heart and your life. Let's pray together. Father God, this morning as we build our testimonies is our everyday life. This dear little lady threw in the two little pence that she had. Because it was, in God's eyes, worth more than all that the rich folks had thrown in. Because she gave all that she had. She didn't realize, I don't think, that she knew Jesus was watching when she dropped those two little pence in there. She was just being obedient. She is building her testimony. These old disciples, they didn't realize they was building a testimony when they bragged on the temple, when they asked for the signs of the time. Tell me this, tell me that. They weren't concerned about their testimony. They were jockeying for positions with you, Lord. Even two of them's mother brought them to you and asked if you had any favor, let sit on the left hand, the other on the right. Positioning. You didn't die for us a position. You died for us so we'd have a Savior. And you told us it's the times, signs of the time draw near to look up for our Redeemer, our redemption draweth nigh. Search the hearts of each one here this morning. God, if there's a need in that heart, I would that, Father, they may want to come and kneel and pray. Share, and I'd be glad to pray with them about any need. But the main thing is to realize they need to be about building their resume, building their testimony of what the Lord has done with them and for them and through them in their hearts and their lives. And we'll give you the praise, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing, Brother Ernie.